Are your chains gone? You know, most of you know the story of that song, that Amazing Grace, the original song Amazing Grace, written by John Newton, was a slave ship captain, and came to Christ, and served the remainder of his life in ministry, and wrote that song, how he was once blind, but now he sees. And it's ironic that this new chorus that's been added in later years here talks about chains that have been set free. It's ironic where that the history of that song. What chains us up, church? You know, I think there's all sorts of things. There's addictions, there's unforgiveness, pride. You probably could add a few more. I know you could. But those things chain us up, and God sets us free. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm chapter 23. Probably we're going to read out of Psalm 23, probably the most well-known passage in God's Word. Psalm 23, we're going to just read verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's pray. Father, we ask for your Spirit to come and speak in power and authority. We need you. We need to hear from you. We ask that you would come and speak in power and authority and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm beginning a new series. We're going to work our way one verse at a time through Psalm 23. And I've entitled the series Sheepish. Sheepish. Life lessons from Psalm 23. In this first one, the title of this first verse, this first week, is Contentment. Now, I want to talk about that word for just a minute, because I've struggled with that naming my sermon today, contentment, because that tends to, it can, if we're not careful, we can exchange that word for complacency. And that's not what we're talking about here at all. There's a big difference. This word contentment, it's a noun. It's the state of being contented, satisfaction, ease of mind. And the opposite of contentment is dissatisfaction. It's not complacency. Contentment is very different from complacency. I want us, now this is going to be strange for y'all. I've got it on the screen so that you can read it. We're going to read, I want us together to read. Most of us could come pretty close to reciting the Psalms 23, but most of us learned it in King James. But we don't talk like that today. There's nothing wrong with the King James Bible if that's what you read. It's a fine translation. But we don't say haveth in, you know, in the, we don't do that. So I want us to read it, and maybe it'll freshen it up a little bit for us. I want us to read it this morning in the NIV, and it's going to be on the screen. Let's just read it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Probably, how many of you made a mistake and said some King James words in there? It's okay. It's okay. If you prefer learning it in King James, That there's just absolutely no problem with that. But I wanted us to read it in a little bit different version. Again, there's some of the words that they the different translations have translated differently. But we're going to begin today, and we're going to focus on the first verse. Now, the first point I want to make, and you can just follow along in your outline if you would like, if you like to keep that stuff for notes. The first point I want us to look at is that we, God's people, are like sheep. Hence the title, Sheepish. Now, David is writing this psalm, and he's writing it in first person himself as a sheep. Is that? I know that seems obvious, but I'd really never kind of let that sink in for a minute. He's writing as a sheep. And when we read it, and when we, if we read it and we really let that penetrate our heart and we say, the Lord is my shepherd, what does that make us? Sheep. Well, I've got to tell you that that metaphor is used throughout God's Word. I think I've listed a few in your handout there, but I'm just going to hit a couple of them. Jacob in the Old Testament in Genesis 48 said, God has been my shepherd all my life. What does that make Jacob? A sheep. Isaiah said, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them into his bosom. He also said, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And then Jesus comes and he begins to speak in the same metaphor, and he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep, what? Know me. Well, this metaphor, this analogy of sheep and shepherd is beautiful, isn't it? But it's not very flattering. It's really not very flattering. You know, I don't really know that I am real proud of being referred to as a sheep. I'd like to be something more, a little more powerful, you know, a stallion or something, you know. But a sheep. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about why it's not all that flattering to be referred to as a sheep. You know, David, I see you saying something back there. It was about my stallion remark, wasn't it? Yeah, I know. You can tell me later. Donna, tell me later what he said. Sheep are by nature, we're going to hit these pretty quick, they're weak. They're helpless. You know, the sheep, they don't have, they're defenseless. They really don't have any defense mechanism. Have you ever thought about that? Even a skunk can smell bad. I mean, you think a skunk, weather, you know, and you know, you get into other things, and even if their skin could be real, you know, certain animals, their skin could be kind of blubbery and soft, and if something bites them, you know, it just doesn't grab hold. But not a sheep. Sheep has, they have no sharp teeth, no fangs. They got these little old scrawny legs with little scrawny hooves. They're just helpless. Are you loving being called a sheep yet? Are we getting there yet? They're weak, they're helpless, they're defenseless. They're totally dependent on the shepherd. They're at the mercy of the shepherd. And yes, the last one, they're rather dumb. They will, if one of them starts eating the poisonous plants and falls over dead, the other ones just fall right along behind. You remember, did anybody's mom, my mom's here today, where are you at, Mom? Did anybody else's mom ever say, well, if all the other kids were jumping off a cliff, would you do it too? Mom, I'm sure you never said that. But they're dumb. They'll walk off a cliff. They'll eat poisonous plants. They'll do whatever that the other ones are doing. So sheep, bottom line is, sheep need a shepherd. Do you need a shepherd? The second point is that the Lord is a personal shepherd dedicated to the sheep. He's a personal shepherd dedicated to the sheep. David says, the Lord, and that word that they translate to the Lord, that was it was Jehovah. It was the most awe-inspiring way they could refer to God. It was the most prestigious way to refer to God. The Lord is not a shepherd. He's my shepherd. Is the Lord your shepherd? I mean, let's face it, and some of us may want to say, I ain't no sheep. I got my act together. Well, I'm glad you do, because I don't. I need a shepherd. I think that's pride overcoming us when we don't want to admit that we are just sheep. We're weak, we're helpless, we're defenseless, we're totally dependent, and we need a shepherd. Well, Jesus said that he's not only a shepherd, he's our shepherd, and he's the good shepherd, and he lays down his life for us. And he says that, do you hear the intimacy of they will know my voice and I will know their voice, that we will connect. One of the things about sheep is traditionally you don't herd sheep. The sheep, especially back in biblical times, the shepherds lived with the sheep, okay? And they got to know one another. They're sleeping side by side. I watched, Cheryl and I were watching this, what was that, on Hallmark or something last night? This guy, they delivered this sheep, and I'm not a sheep guy, but the sheep, this little baby sheep was not moving, and the lady told him, it was in an Amish community, she said, pick him up by his heels and spin with him. Does anybody raise sheep before? And he spun this sheep around and it started breathing. And it showed a picture. This is a big old tough guy, you know, and showed a picture later. He's cuddling with this sheep that he's, you know, got to breathe, and they're both asleep. But, I mean, that's the kind of relationship that Jesus wants with us. He wants to cuddle with his sheep. And the shepherds would live with the sheep and they would become accustomed to their voice, and he wouldn't have to, one shepherd could lead the flock. He wouldn't have to have all these shepherds rounding behind them and herding the flock. They would just walk and they would just talk to the sheep and they would follow him. That's what Jesus wants with us. Listen to the heart of Christ for his sheep. So this is Jesus teaching this. In Luke 15, he says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. Do you hear the heart of God for his sheep? I mean, really, do you hear it? At least bob your head. Do you hear the heart of God for his sheep? Do you feel that? Too many times, and I'll just confess this as a representative of the church, the universal church. Too many times, we as the church, what we convey to people is, be good, and God will accept you, and we will accept you. Be bad, and not so much. That's not God's heart at all. God is wooing us. He's wooing us. He wants that intimate, personal relationship with us. He wants to be our good shepherd. He wants us to cuddle up in his arms and go to sleep. Jesus also said in Luke 15, he went on to say, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Do you hear the heart of the Good Shepherd this morning? David was drawing from his youth when he was indeed a shepherd. When he was the youngest of his brothers, and he was sent out to stay with the sheep. I know how that goes, the youngest one. You know, it always flows downhill to the youngest one. Right, Mom? Somebody has to empty the trash. I'm the youngest. You empty the trash. You can tell I'm not bitter. The third thing I want us to look at this morning. Surrendering to the shepherd's care leads to contentment. We spend so much time in our lives thinking about what we don't have, don't we? We spend so much time, and I wasn't going to tell this, but the Lord's kind of laying it on my heart, so I'm going to tell it anyway. I was driving home. I'd been over at my mom and dad's earlier this week, and it was in the evening. It was just after dark, probably 6:30 or so, 6:30. And I was. They live out where you go under the overpass at Ambler, and you get back. I was heading back south, and I went under the underpass, and I was fixing to turn, and there was a little lady. And Jordan, where you at? Jordan, your sermon last week inspired me, brother. The story of your friend. You know, I've been known to the people with the signs. I've been known many times to pull up and hand them a 5 or a 10 or 20, whatever's in my pocket, and help them get a meal or alcohol, whatever it is they're buying, I guess. But I saw this little lady, and she's sitting on the curb, and she had a sign, and I thought of Jordan's story last week. It's so easy to either drive by or just to hand them a $5 bill and drive by and really think that we've been Christ. So I went and I pulled in the little dirt parking lot behind her, and I got out and I said, "How are you tonight?" And I said, "What's going on? How can I help you?" And she said, "Well, my husband and I are trying to. He's got a job, but he hasn't been paid yet, and we're trying to get in. It was pretty cold that night." She said, "We're trying to get into a hotel room tonight, and hopefully he'll be paid tomorrow." And these people had been on the street a while, you could tell. And we're rotating. He's in the woods over there sitting, resting, and I'm sitting here, and then we'll switch. And long story short, they piled into my pickup, and I took them around to Motel 6 and got them a hotel room for the night. And I didn't want to say that because I don't want it to come across as boasting, but what I'm trying to say is that that Christ wants us to be engaged. He there's this contentment, this thankfulness for what we have. How many of us in this room don't have more than so many people around the world? And this surrendering to the shepherd's care leads to contentment. David himself said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." Now, David had lost children. I mean, David had, he'd been and gotten himself in a mess with all kinds of sin in his life, and had a child that died, and all sorts of things had gone on in David's life. But he understands that as long as the Lord is my shepherd, I can walk through anything with him. Contentment doesn't come very natural to us, does it? Remember, contentment is not complacency. Had a opportunity yesterday to, I don't know, most or many of y'all know Kelvin Kelly, Pastor Kelvin Kelly. He's working a walk to Emmaus with me and several others in this room. Lynn Lahan is leading that walk, and I got a chance to hear him share yesterday, and he said something that really struck me that ties, I think, today, this idea of contentment in our life. And he said this. He said, "The trouble is not in," and this is perhaps slightly paraphrased, "the trouble is not in what we possess, but rather what possesses us." That's good stuff. You know, surrendering to the shepherd's call, care leads us to contentment in our life, understanding how blessed we are. Do we understand how blessed we are? And I'm not just talking about financial blessings. I mean just blessings to be able to come here this morning. Just to be able to come. And I appreciate that, Gene. Gene, I know I see people like Gene Ely here, and it's hard, and I don't want to embarrass you, Gene, but it's hard for Gene to even get out of the car and walk in here because her knees are hurting her so bad. And Gene, you're here every week. And I pray that God will allow you many more years of that. Man, do we understand the blessing it is to be sheep of the Good Shepherd? David understood it. I want us, as we go through this series, I'm gonna challenge you to, I want us to learn, if we don't already know it, I want us to learn this this psalm, because it is the heart, it should be the heart cry of God's people. The Lord is my shepherd. I read it so many times at funerals, at the burial, because there's so many families request it, and even when they don't, many times I read it, because there's this this heart cry of people in need and grief to understand that the Lord is indeed our shepherd. And so I think I've put it on your handout there. I'm going to challenge you to learn. We're going to learn it one verse at a time, six verses to this psalm. So I want you to write that verse down. You can write it in any version that you want to. I put it there in the NIV. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Write it out on a piece of paper every day this week. Say it out loud. And then count your blessings. Surrender your will to God and count your blessings. Write three things each day below that verse, three things each day that you're thankful for. Three things that that you have reason to be content because of these things. I think you'll be surprised how easily those will come. I think I've got it. Y'all know this little character? Don't you love that? We've got a couple of T-shirts like that, and that's actually on my wife and daughter's license plate. The little saying, "Life is good," and that I don't know the whole story behind that character, but that you'll find him riding bicycles and camping and playing the guitar and all sorts of different poses with that little guy, and he's always got a smile on his face, and it's the whole brand is "Life is good." I love that. Well, I want to tell you that too many times, if everything is going just right, if all of our circumstances are lining up just the way we think they should, then that's our attitude, isn't it? Life is good. Yeah, life is good. But what happens when the storms come? I want to tell you, life is still good because the giver of life is good. And because of his goodness, because of the goodness of the good shepherd, we can be content. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for being our shepherd. Now help us to not be in want. Help us to look at the abundant blessings that you have poured out on us, the ability to take this very next breath, to have relationships with one another, and to sit in your arms. Teach us how to be content as we sit in your arms. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. We pray in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. If you'll stand as we close this morning, if you would like to come and spend some time praying, or would like to come and visit with me about accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior, or about our church, anything at all, if you'd like me to pray with you. Our prayer team also, if you kind of raise your hands, they have blue tags on, kind of prayer team, kind of go back to the back walls. If anybody would like some prayer, then they'll be available as well.
There must be more than this. Oh, breath of God, come breathe within. There must be more than this. Spirit of God, we wait for you. Fill us anew, we pray.
Is the Lord your shepherd? Go and not be in want, and go and share and tell someone. In Jesus' name, we are dismissed.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior.